Don't you hate it when you've bitten yourself and you bleed and you don't realise how you've made yourself do it?
I don't bite really myself problem, often. Yeah. To be
fair. 50 Shades of currently is
Yeah, drawn blood.
Mm.
Christ.
The Carly Moxie story.
Trying
blood. Drawn blood.
Right. Shall we?
Yes.
Shall we?
Let's go.
Welcome, everyone, to episode sweet 16 of the BAM Comic Podcast. It's been a while, but we're back with a vengeance. And what do I mean by vengeance? Not only is there fucking cake,
but fuck off.
There's cake. That's right. And if there's cake, well, that must mean that the woman of the house is back in the house. By that, I mean Carly's back. Hello, Carly.
Hello.
Oh, there's... Lack of echo. Yeah, okay. That must mean that you're sitting right beside us.
Yeah.
Way, Carly's back.
For the first time for 7 months? 8 months, I think.
Was it that long?
I think
maybe.
So. Yeah. This feels like a lifetime, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes for me. Clearly I'm doing something wrong.
Does it look like Stu and I have aged in your eyes?
No.
Good answer. Mm. Anyway, Carly's back. And of course, Stu, as always, is right here.
He is.
In BAM Tower.
Yeah.
BAM Tower.
Newly decorated BAM Tower.
Mm. Yes, Stu would like us to point out that he has recently applied a lick of paint. A spruce. BAM Tower's had a spruce. Carly's brought the cake, Stu's brought the spruce.
Well, she's brought the cake, but it's like...
It's quite a sore point.
Yeah, it's like Civil War Part 2. Like, we're falling out over cake already. We've not even started the show.
Exactly. I'm not saying that. I need to kind of get...
More tea. Or booze. Booze. Do a little shot.
Mm. So it has been a while since we last did... You want to do shots?
Well, I was thinking that maybe that could be a Christmas special. Just get wasted and do a podcast.
The wasted edition.
Yeah. The Christmas special. Just fucked.
Yeah.
Just do it as a live stream.
Ooh, yeah. Live stream.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Tops off for comics. That's it. Well, anyway, fuck it. It's all being edited. Sorry, future Stu editing this.
Yeah.
So tell us, Unky Stu, what is in the show this week?
So it has been a long time since we've done one for various reasons. What with international travelling, expectant parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one thing we're going to talk about way back when was the Suicide Squad movie. We were going to do a podcast literally the day after we'd all seen it.
Yeah, and then we didn't.
We fucked that up.
We fucked it.
So it's been a month now since it came out.
But hey, that's given everyone a chance to watch it at least. Yeah. So, you know, we got that in our favour.
And we have all seen it now.
Yeah.
So I think we could talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about some Suicide Squad.
And
what
maybe,
else? What else?
Maybe talk a little about the fallout from that. I think there's some rumours that have leaked about the future of the DC Universe movies.
Ooh.
Could all be horseshit. But we can talk about it anyway.
Who's going to stop us? Not you, listener.
Exactly. So then comic-wise...
Listener.
Yeah. Comic-wise, you're going to talk about Snotgirl.
I am going to talk about Snotgirl and no one can stop me.
And I'm going to talk about a couple of spin-offs from the Civil War 2 miniseries that's running.
Christ, which has got spin-offs?
Yeah, well, there's loads. There's loads of tie-ins, but they've actually done a couple of spin-offs which are actually better than the main series, which the main series is a bit pish, I think. And then Carly's going to talk about one of her new graphic novels, which is...
Night Trap.
Ba-dum-tsh. Is that like Trapdoor?
No.
It's not like that at all.
Stay away from that Night Trap.
That's a missed opportunity, isn't it? Right, shall we just crack on with Suicide Squad then?
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Because I already know your opinions roughly on it.
It's true, because outside of this podcast, we do actually talk to each
other. We do. And it's been difficult trying to not talk about it for a month.
True.
I think it lasted 3 days.
Yeah.
We're all, like, when I saw it, I was in America. You were also in America, in a different state.
Actually, no, I watched it back here.
You'd come back to the UK, didn't you?
Yeah, I took my mum with me.
Mama Mox?
Yep.
Oh, so Sandy Moxie's got opinions on Suicide Squad.
She does, she's got quite strong opinions on it, actually.
Your mum having strong opinions? Well...
Fancy that.
Fancy.
Buckle in, listeners.
And you saw it with your lady wife,
I saw it with my lady wife. Yeah. Possibly the last film I'll see before becoming a father.
So, I guess, I mean, originally I was going to say, let's talk about it without doing any spoilers, but frankly, it's been out for a month, so fuck it.
If you're waiting for the DVD release, shame on you. Support your local cinema.
Yeah. Well, support your local cinema and not go and see Suicide Squad.
Ooh, I feel cards.
I'm just going in.
Cards are on the table.
I'm going in balls deep.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Sorry, Will Smith. Stu's going in balls deep.
So, I guess I want to defer to you because I know you actually liked it.
Well, you say liked. That is an opinion.
Has your opinion changed?
My approach to going to see Suicide Squad was to take it in the mindset of the tween demographic it's aimed at. So I went into it with no build-up, no hype in my own head. I realised that this was a film aimed at teenagers, and it delivered on that respect. If I was 14, 15 going to see that movie, I'd have probably thought it was one of the greatest movies I'd seen of my short life.
You think?
Yeah.
Objectively, you think?
Objectively, yeah. As a 15-year-old, I think I would have loved it. Right. As a 30-something-year-old, oofed. I am bored of movies where the main threat is a big glowy thing in the sky.
See, I was going to say about that. You're right, though, isn't it? That's like the go-to.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have that in the end of Avengers?
Yeah.
And it's just a generic. I think they have it in most of the action movies. It's like some kind of indeterminate, big, glowy, apocalyptic.
That you don't really have to explain too much.
Yeah. No. Yeah, like fine going into it. Like, Enchantress is the turncoat heel. Great. I can see that working, yeah. But... don't have a whole film where you're fighting against zombies and glowy things in the sky. See, every DC exec has made this big thing of going, oh, well, we've established the universe because we've had Batman versus Superman, and that establishes that there's an alien and there's a god and there's, like, meh.
Yeah.
So they think they've just got free reign, but no... No, it still doesn't. It still feels, this is a stupid thing to say, but it still feels too comic booky. I need more grounding in the movies that I'm going to watch.
Yeah, a brief summary for me is I just felt it was like a comic book movie of 20 years ago.
Hmm.
Just thinking about the way it was almost, I mean, you don't have to mimic what Marvel are doing. I mean, Marvel do a really, really good job, and it's not me, you know, sort of choosing Marvel over DC when it comes to movies. I think, you know, they just do a really, really good job. They've had a few ball drops, like Iron Man 2, very early on, was a big misstep. Thor: The Dark World, I quite liked, but I know generally a lot of people think it's a bit not particularly good.
Yeah.
And they do have a tendency to have dull, generic, suited villains who are nondescript in some of the movies, who, you know, there's no real kind of motivation with some of the villains they have. But on a whole, they feel modern. They feel they're actually offering something new on the whole genre. Suicide Squad, to me, felt like it could have been a sequel to Batman and Robin.
Mm.
It was like, we're not even going to do any character development. We're going to throw...
The Batman and Robin of 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere that there was talk of... They were kind of almost approaching Ben Affleck's Batman as if he was...
Keaton's Batman,
20 years old. Yeah, and after watching Suicide Squad, I totally got that, because it had that kind of semi-camp aesthetic, and underdeveloped characters, a shit ton of characters just thrown in.
Mm.
Even stuff like the title cards at the beginning of Suicide Squad, where it was like, we're introducing the characters, and we're into these big title cards that come up with wacky fonts and crazy soundtrack. But those are pointless to me, because like, you'd want to watch it on Blu-ray, you'd have to pause it, because I couldn't read half the stuff, because it disappeared and went on to the next one.
Including the big spoiler-oo.
Harley Quinn was an accomplice in the murder of Robin.
Yeah.
Which I didn't pick up on. I literally missed that when I watched it in the cinema until I read it.
I couldn't catch up with it.
No, because it went. It's like on flashed and gone.
Hmm.
For me, it just felt like it was a throwback, and it could personify... If someone who doesn't like superhero movies could watch The Suicide Squad and go, this is exactly why I don't like superhero movies. Again, we went back to the whole, I talked about the big explodey thingy at the end, the big threat, which again, that we had that last year in, you know, the really bad Fantastic Four movie. That's the same thing.
Yeah, you know, seen it. Been it, seen it, done it. I was watching the special features of Civil War last night, and whether you buy into this or not, or just PR spin, they bang on about like how Marvel movies are movies about people first and foremost, and it's just these people just happen to have special abilities. So they build the story about the people.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can get on board with that, but what I think is that DC still haven't quite got that.
No.
And I don't. And again, maybe because it was aimed at teenagers where it was style over substance, like I didn't buy any of the relationships.
It just felt like such a mess to me.
Well, it was cut as well, wasn't it? I mean, it's quite well documented. And they're doing the same thing they did with Batman v Superman, where they're running articles and they're having interviews and they're revealing what's been cut from the movie. And it's like, you know, a lot of Jared Leto stuff was cut.
So frustrating.
But to do, and again, it's kind of, they've made a movie and then I guess suited execs have decided they want to make a different movie.
Yeah.
So a lot of the relationship between Harley Quinn and the Joker, it was very much an abusive relationship. Apparently, a lot of scenes that were filmed really emphasised that.
Yeah.
They were cut because they didn't think it was
particularly palatable. Because they want to market that fantasy. All the boys want to be Joker, all girls want to be Harley Quinn.
Yeah, and apparently stuff like the Slipknot character who had like probably a couple of lines of dialogue. Apparently there's a whole scene where it's implied that he's a rapist of women and stuff, and they cut back, so apparently it's not very nice.
Still, fiver to you for rightly calling that Slipknot would be the first character to die in the movie. Credit where it's due.
Well, I did call it, and I kind of thought he'd have a bit more to do on screen.
Nope. I feel really let down for Jared Leto, because I thought it was a fine performance. Not Oscar worthy.
I didn't really like him. I'm going to throw it out there and say, as a Joker, I wasn't really that keen. And I don't know if it's because they did cut a lot of his scenes out and he wasn't really given the platform to be able to perform.
Yeah.
Because according to all of the things that we've all been reading, is that he was taking the role especially seriously.
Yeah.
He's a bit intense anyway. But I think everybody had sort of high hopes for him. But I just wonder if it was just that I didn't really care for him. I just thought that he didn't really have anything that reminded me of the Joker, really.
No, I totally agree. I think he was disappointing. I was really up for him being cast. I thought it was quite exciting to see what he was going to do. And I didn't think he was terrible. He just didn't leave an impression. I was just a bit...
He was a forgettable character, but then maybe it was because he just didn't really have a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, for anyone who's watched a handful of trailers, you're going to be sitting through that film going, where's all the Joker bits that are in the trailers and are not in this movie?
There's loads of scenes. There's the whole bit where is it Harley Quinn's in the bar and dishing out drinks. And El Diablo, who actually was my favourite character.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Was the one who said, I'll just have water. And that whole line was cut as well. There's loads of stuff that was cut.
And then Joker's second attempt to rescue Arlie.
Yeah, that's gone. Yeah.
So it just makes me wonder. I mean, again, gotta be careful how we phrase this. You know, the extended cut of Batman versus Superman was better. Not necessarily that it makes it a good or great film, but that stuff that they cut out smoothed over a lot of the troubles that the film had, and I suspect the extended cut of Suicide Squad will do much the same.
I'm not sure if it will, because with Batman v Superman, we talked about it in the last podcast, because you guys still haven't seen the extended cut of it. You don't need to.
but I
don't
have the design.
No, and it kind of does fill in some of the plot holes. But I think with Suicide Squad, because of what I understand how it was filmed, like originally it was filmed and was going to be chronological. So it starts off with June Moon discovering the Enchantress in the cave, and it kind of goes with her being taken over by the spirit, and then the Suicide Squad being formed from there. So they've cut it differently. So I don't know if there is... I can't imagine there's a cohesive cut. I think it's just a jumble of scenes that were shot and someone's had the unenviable job of like putting it all together.
Enchantress, though.
Yeah?
I was really excited.
Was that a good brr?
No. I was really excited about Cara Delevingne playing that part because she's sort of... trying to become an actress, isn't she? And
isn't she good? I mean, what's the movie she did?
Paper Town.
Yeah.
and she's actually quite good in it. But so I was sort of excited to see what she might do with it. And that's sort of a difficult role to fill. I would wonder who else would possibly play that part.
Well, the female roles in the film were pretty old school. Again, going back 20 years, they were kind of very much like damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Or sexy.
Yeah.
Or actually, they were both sexy damsels in distress, which was...
a heady troublesome mix of the two.
Yeah.
But it was all the dancing on the like platform.
Oh, when she's full on Enchantress mode.
Yeah.
I thought she looked like she had like a dog with worms, I thought, when she's doing the whole like she wants to rub her ass on the floor, isn't it?
Yeah, she was a hot scooping jump of like scooting across the floor.
Yeah.
But, I could get behind that. I can see how that fits with the character.
Like, it was just over the top.
Sure.
Beyond over the top. And by the time you get to that point anyway, you're sort of like, when is it going to end?
Hmm.
Well, let's run through some of the performances stroke characters then. Amanda Waller was the standout character for me.
Yeah, she's good.
That was the least disappointing.
Yeah, and they nailed it, actually, as far as the comics go. Like, in fact, for me, because I haven't read Suicide Squad, I've kind of dipped in and dipped out. I read it back in the late 80s, 90s, like the classic run by John Ostrander, and for me, they nailed Waller, but I don't remember being so fucking ruthless. Like,
yeah,
she was another level.
Slice your throat.
Yeah. Hmm. Like, the bit when that for me was one of my favourite scenes, when she just they eventually rescue her. It's kind of obvious it was going to be her they rescue, and then she just kills all the staff in cold blood. I thought that's cool.
Yeah.
But at that point, I'd kind of checked out. I was like, I just don't give a shit about anyone apart from El Diablo. But I knew he was going to die.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. So Amanda Waller, totally. She was great.
What did you think of Will Smith not Will Smithing it up and actually being good Will Smith?
I liked him. Yeah. I thought he was brilliant. My mum loved him. Favorite character for my mum.
I think he was probably one of the more fleshed out characters. Mm. But again, the whole story arc was predictable. I thought it was just like, oh, he's got his daughter, but you know, he's an assassin, but he likes his, you know, he loves his daughter, and he only kills bad people. Okay.
yeah, but he was like completely kick-ass when he gets up on that car and just kills everything.
But I think the problem
comedy moments.
They had, Will Smith comedy moments, but not on a par with him punching the alien in Independence Day, to be honest.
Yeah.
To
Earth.
But I think with him, it felt like I was watching his second appearance, like he'd already been in the Batman movie and you actually gave a shit about him because you'd invested in the movie with him. Mm. But this is the problem with Suicide Squad. They've just thrown in loads of new characters and kind of said, fuck you, Marvel. We don't need to establish this. We can just do it now.
Yeah, mistake.
So,
it did feel panicked, actually, looking back on it.
Mm. What about Margot Robbie?
I'm not a massive Harley Quinn fan.
No.
So she did a great job. She was Harley Quinn. I thought she was quite convincing. To talk about her, you need to talk about the relationship with the Joker as well. And to me, it was kind of half... They kept bottling it. They kind of went there and they bottled it. They kind of went, we're going to make out it is actually an abusive relationship. Like the scene
in the club.
Where she... the club was really...
I liked that.
And uncomfortable.
And I thought that they were going to develop on from that, because that was one of the scenes where I felt, oh, you know, they could potentially start fleshing that out a little bit, and you can start to see that there was... It's like he loves her, but he uses her.
Yeah.
He's abusing her, but he needs her. It's that, and she's the same with him. And I thought that they could have potentially have done something pretty cool with that, but like you say, they bottled it. They bottled it quite a lot.
Yeah, so. And there's a flashback scene when he's going to torture her and obviously makes her nuts. Well, she's obviously nuts to begin with. That was kind of, like, disturbing, but it kind of, it makes sense in the context.
But
and then when she jumps into the tank as well, like, he kind of manipulates her into jumping into the tank, and that was cool because it was cool, but it could have been better.
I think with that scene, I'm going to ask you, because I know you are resident, not casual, that's dismissive. I think you're the one who doesn't have to have an encyclopedic knowledge of stuff. You're kind of like someone who likes the movies, who wants to go and read the odd graphic novel.
Mm.
But for me, did you get the reference to where that took place, like Ace Chemicals? Did you understand what...
Yeah, from the first Batman movie.
I was wondering whether that would have been lost a lot of people, whether they just saw her jumping into a tank of milk did they get what it was supposed to be? Did they get that's how the Joker became the Joker? Because there's a lot of stuff that they just, you said about is aimed at the teenagers, but I think it's also aimed at the fans.
And there's a lot of fan service, sure.
And I'm wondering whether someone who's just gone out to the movies for a night and fancied seeing this new Will Smith movie.
Some oh, I pity them.
Would have just gone like, I don't understand what this scene is. Why she jumped in a vat of milk? I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm being dismissive of everybody else that was in there, which wouldn't really be very fair, would it? But I went, maybe it was a time of day as well, school holidays.
Yeah.
Went and watched it in the middle of the afternoon with my mum. And there was a whole bunch of like 15-year-olds on the front, taking up the two front rows.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple behind me. And I always wait to see who stays for the end credits to see, like, you know, and so I don't really know, because when I saw that scene, I thought, oh, I know what that is. But I don't know if other people would, but then you don't want to spoon feed people that scene, because then fans of Batman.
Well, I think there's ways you can do it, I'm sure.
But they missed a beat on a lot of things, though, didn't they? There were a lot of things. I mean, I wish they'd made it a bit darker. It wasn't dark enough.
Really? I thought it was too dark.
No.
It's all too muddy brown at the end. It's all very. Was it Midway City they were trying to say? It's all like.
Yeah, Midway. See, even I'm not terribly au fait with Midway City either. I know. Shock horror.
I'm just trying to think who's based in Midway City. Like, Central City's The Flash.
Yeah.
Opal City's Starman. And I think Star City is Green Arrow. Midway City, I want to say it's like the Hawkman.
Where were they?
Where was Batman? Where was Wonder Woman?
What did your mum think of it?
Well, when the movie was just about to start and the previews had already run and there's that moment of silence, my mum decided to shout out, oh, are we not watching that film about cats with nine lives? And I was like, no, Mum, we're not.
And you not told her what you were going to say?
Really, well, I thought I did. I thought it was pretty clear. And then I could hear her every now and again going, oh, no. oh, no, like this. And in the end, like we went out for lunch after and I asked her what she thought of it. And she said that,
For the listening audience, Carly has just corrected the placement of my cup, which was outside.
It was not bothering me.
We've discovered Carly's weakness, Carly Kryptonite.
I don't know why it was like that. Did you knock it over?
No, I like doing stuff like that. I am the...
Just to fuck with you.
I am the MC Scat Cat to your Paula Abdul.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I asked my mum what she thought of it, and she had said that she had a point. She liked it at the beginning where there were all those messy scenes when they were all in prison.
She liked that stuff, did she?
Yeah, she liked it, but because she doesn't have any... She didn't know what she was watching, and all she saw was a bit of action. And as she said it, she said they all seem like... She was like, they all seemed pretty hard when they were in prison, which was obviously in... what my mum liked, and she said, and when they all came out of prison, she didn't really like the fact that they were all working together and ended up being a cohesive team.
Yeah.
And the way she put it is, they were all pussies when they got out of prison.
Bless. Fair play.
Well done,
Sandy Moxie. There's your box quote, Warners.
Get fucked, Kermode. That's the quote that you want.
Yeah, it's my mum.
Bless her. Well, well done her for sitting through it.
Mm.
Did she give you an overall score?
No.
So what else did she...
It was fairly positive, but she thought that a lot of it was quite stupid.
Yeah.
I did catch her. She fell asleep in the middle, and I was like, from with you there, Mum.
Yeah, don't blame her.
I could have done the same thing.
Don't blame her. I think it was, like you say, like when Amanda Waller started capping people, that snapped me out of it.
Yeah.
I was in real danger. Not
and then
enough.
It dropped off again.
Yeah. Such a shame.
So who else was it? El Diablo, for me, was a standout, because I think he had... an interesting, and also he wasn't necessarily the bad guy. He was just kind of had abilities, used them for his own ends, and it fucked up.
Always love a bit of Killer Croc.
I do. It looked odd though, how the prosthetic, especially when he took his shirt off. What the fuck was that? He looked like he had some kind of weird eating disorder, because the prosthetic on his head looked oversized, and he's quite a big lad anyway, the actor. But it looked, his body looked like anemic. And Captain Boomerang.
Oh, God.
Divisive.
What's the point?
I did like his first appearance where you see him, the Flash rucks up. I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah.
But again, average punter would probably not know what was going on. Again, they've kind of taken a tack of making some of these characters darker and edgier and, you know, even more dislikable. Like, Captain Boomerang is a dick in the comics. And obnoxious. But to me, they just made him, like, a bit creepy. Like, he's a bit, like, lecherous with...
Yeah.
He's like, a bit the female characters, isn't he? You know, to me, it was just like... You just don't really feel any sympathy for him. Which is difficult. Because, obviously, they're supposed to be bad guys. But, I don't know. They could have handled that a bit better. I guess he'll rock up in the Flash movie. They'll just line him up.
Yeah, if he does another one. He took some persuasion, apparently.
Did he?
Yeah. We'll see.
You're going to have to forgive me because I don't remember the actor's name. But the other government worker that was dating Enchantress.
Oh, that's old Rick Flagg. He was in House of Cards, wasn't he? I've gone blank.
And he was also
Joel.
Yeah.
He was in The Killing as well.
And Robocop. He was Robocop. Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah, so he was.
Joel Kinnaman.
He was actually Swedish.
Yeah.
Or something. Nordic.
Could you not tell when he was talking? Well, that's my Swedish accent. Pretty good.
He was saved the Enchantress.
Yeah. Was he lovely? His character was a bit generic, wasn't he? Kind of.
Oh, yeah. It was all a bit like, all right, you fancy her. Now you love her. Now she's all fucked up and shit, and now you're all upset about it, and you've got to save her.
And that's the thing, that was another problem with the movie. It's like loads of exposition in the beginning. It's like, here's Rick Flagg, he is in love with the Enchantress, and I'm using that. And that was literally kind of like the dialogue. There's no setup.
Yeah.
It was the most unconvincing relationship, because you had no... There was no time for them to develop that. You were just told that they're in love, and he'll do anything for her. And then within first half hour, she's gone rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Gone rouge. Right, we've rambled on about Suicide Squad far too long. So disappointing might be the footnote on it. Are we going to give it a BAM score? How many
individually marks out of five? So I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5. It was distinctly average.
Ooh, I can't sway too far from that road. I'm giving it an optimistic 3 BAMs.
Okay.
And the foresight hope that an extended edition can fix these wrongs. It won't.
Spoilers, it won't.
Yeah. I'd give it a 3.
Yeah.
What would your mum, Sandy Moxie, give it, you think?
I think she had the time of her life, actually. I think she might give it a 4, just because she quite fancied Will Smith in it.
Yeah. Got her out of the house, didn't it? Yeah. It's a bit of a day out as well.
Yeah. Took for a pizza after.
Do you get popcorn as well?
No. Cool.
That would have been a 5 out of 5, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
What should we move on to now?
Bam! Should we talk about your graphic novel, Carly?
Yes. There's not much to tell, actually. It's called Night Trap, and it's an 8-part series.
Done.
Done.
Marks out 5.
And it's written by Cullen Bunns, who wrote for Harrow County?
Yes.
Harrow County.
Does some stuff
Deadpool.
On Marvel. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Deadpool. And artist is JB Bastos. I had to write that down. And he's done work for Knight Rider.
As in... The Knight Rider.
Mm.
As in
Knight.
Flashy eye car.
Yeah.
Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Wow.
As in Kit.
Wow.
So it's good. It's like a typical sort of like slasher. If you like 80s slasher films, then you'll probably like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about a creepy guy who lives in the woods, and it sort of kicks off right away in that the police are like descending in on where he lives. He manages to escape, and they find a whole load of dead bodies in the lake that surrounds his house, where he's just been killing people off and dumping them. And then you cut to a group of sort of like 18-year-olds who are off at a cabin having some fun as teenagers at college do.
Eating cake.
Yeah, eating cake, having a cup of tea, and having early nights.
Oh, that sounds amazing right now.
This is an alternative Friday the 13th, maybe.
Yeah. And weird things start to happen, as they always do. The water gets shut off.
Mm.
Old blonde jock has to go out and find out what the problem is.
Right.
And it all sort of starts from there. But the first issue doesn't really get right into it. One of the characters gets killed off that you see. And I haven't read any of the others yet, But that's about it, really. And again, if you like sort of like 80s slasher films, I think you'd probably find it quite entertaining. So
this is the first book in a series, I take it?
Well, first issue, yeah.
All right. Okay, I thought it was a graphic novel, so it's the first single issue, right?
No. Mind you, I don't know how far they're in on it now. I think that the first issue came out in July, but I mean, that's how long it's been since we've actually done a podcast,
I know.
So, yeah. No, it's good. It is good.
Going to pick up the next one, you think?
Yeah, I will, because it didn't have the same impact on me as She-Wolf, and I got them both at the same time and read them around the same time, but they're very, very different. And I didn't get the same reaction from it as when I read Lock and Key. That was like an instant, fuck me, this is brilliant. But I think that it's got a long way to go, but I think that it will come through.
Okay.
I mean, I like 80s slasher films, so how could I possibly not like it?
And it's de rigueur, since Stranger Things on Netflix has gone great guns, and that's kind of referencing lots of 80s movies, like the slasher movies and sort of classic sci-fi as well. So.
Oh, that's so good, isn't it?
So, who's publishing that one, do you know?
Oh, God. I can't remember.
We'll cut that. So, issue one.
The image, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, so Night and Trap, issue one, marks out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Ooh. Which is high praise from Carly.
Yeah. So, I read first issue of She-Wolf during the break we've had between podcasts.
There is a She-Wolf in your closet. Stu's not feeling the She-Wolf.
Not feeling it. It lacked Shakira. if it had some more Shakira in it, I probably would have liked it more. So no, I need to read the second issue, but I wasn't that impressed.
I don't think it is really your thing, to be totally honest.
Well, hey, you gave it a college try.
I'll give it a try.
Good on you. It's actually, it's Lion Forge Comics that do Night Trap.
Oh, okay, publisher, okay.
Cool.
And I guess it's available at any good comic store or Comixology.
Or Comixology, yeah. Although I did get it from a lovely comic book shop in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you globetrotter. Bam!
Snot Girl.
Welcome to Neil Snot Girl Review. Yeah, that's good. Good sound effect.
Thank you.
You're auditioning for the inevitable movie.
So. Right, listen up, kids. I'm going to tell you about Snot Girl, yo.
I'm going to bust into Will Smith.
I'm trying to be like...
Fresh Prince.
A teacher from like Dangerous Minds, like... lecture in a difficult class.
Like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, essentially I'm the Michelle Pfeiffer of comics. Right, you know the score. Brian Lee O'Malley, your man that wrote Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
He's back. Mm. He's back. He's back with Snot Girl. So before this, he had Seconds, which followed up Scott Pilgrim, and this sort of teaches you your Brian Lee O'Malley lesson, and that's, it's a good one, but slow burn.
Okay.
Slow burn. You got to be in it to win it.
Right.
So Snot Girl is supposedly part of a trilogy that he's doing, which does what he does best, which is take apart modern life.
Yeah.
So when you're reading Scott Pilgrim, you're kind of like, oh, I know exactly what period of time I'm in, and what's relevant and whatnot. Same sort of thing with this. So he's doing a trilogy, sort of taking apart modern life. And the first one, Snot Girl, is all about this... girl that lives her entire life through social media. Like, she's a Twitter, Instagram superstar celebrity.
Much like ourselves.
So she's very much keeping up appearances, but on the inside, she's also falling apart. She can't keep any relationship or anything going.
Much like ourselves.
We are Snot Girl. Snot Girl is us.
Yeah, and also she's desperately struggling with her allergies, which break out at the most inopportune times.
Don't point at me. It does sound very autobiographical. Yeah.
Yes, which essentially is ruining her real life and threatening her not-so-real life.
Right.
It's got very good reviews. I think I'm in the danger line of... aging out, perhaps, of Snot Girl. It's not necessarily as relevant to me as Scott Pilgrim was back when I first read Scott Pilgrim. But it's bloody good.
Okay.
It's bloody good. And you'll notice a departure of the out styles from Leo Malik. He's not doing the art for it. It's an artist by Leslie Hung, who I believe is an up-and-comer. So it looks fair. I don't want to say manga-y, but you'll know it when you see it.
It does look manga-y.
Yeah. So it's bloody good.
Is it single issues or is it graphic novels?
No, it's single issues. And I think it'll have a limited run and then be collected. Because obviously Brian Lee O'Malley wants to move on to the next part of this trilogy, which will be coming at Modern Life from a different angle. Yeah, everyone loves Scott Pilgrim, so it's not even, I can't even say everyone that matters likes Scott Pilgrim. Did you not like Scott Pilgrim? Did you like Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah, I did like Scott Pilgrim.
Did you not like Scott Pilgrim?
It's all right. I think it was overhyped. I like that. I like the original graphic novels were okay. They were good. Fun.
Yeah.
But again, you said about aging out. I think I'm too old for Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
And the movie I thought was shit. Style over substance. But I totally kind of defer that I'm probably too old for that.
Yeah.
I got a lot of references. I got a lot of the sort of video game references, but I think I'm just slightly, well, maybe I'm too old, or I just didn't like it.
But that's okay not to like it, because I think that it's one of those, the movie is one of those movies that it could easily rub you out the wrong way.
Well, I'm not a fan of Edgar Wright. I think Edgar Wright's a bit overrated. Shaun of the Dead's still an amazing movie, but the other two parts of those trilogy, I think, are just shit.
My god, I'm going to fall off my chair.
Yeah, so what did we have? It was a Hot Fuzz, I thought, started off all right,
and
it just kind of collapsed under its own pretense. And I think The World's End, the same thing, even though it's filmed locally from here. You know, it was great watching little towns like kind of loiter about in. But again, with The World's End, again, they start off really well, and it kind of... I thought the ending was terrible. The third act was fucking awful.
World's End's actually my favourite one.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, that's changed since I've aged.
Yeah.
So it's entirely relevant to your... It's like how you relate to them. Anywho.
But we digress.
We digress. My advice to you, if you're thinking, ooh, should I pick up Snot Girl, is how you've related to Brian Lee O'Malley's work in the past. It's not as... I didn't find it as instantly as... accessible as Scott Pilgrim. However, Seconds is probably my favourite Brian Lee O'Malley story, and that's a bit of a slow burn. You had to like take it from the start and you're like, okay, I understand the setting, and then it turned into like this amazing story, and by the end of it you were like, crumbs, that was quite a yarn, I'm glad I stuck through. Snot Girl's very much like that.
Okay.
So get it from the start, get yourself familiar, and then you'll be whisked away on a magical Lee O'Malley world. I should probably give you some kind of BAM star rating, shouldn't I?
That'd be good.
It's a lot of responsibility. I am going to give the first Snot Girl 4 BAMs. BAM, 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 BAM. It's not finished yet, but I expect it to be a solid 5 BAMs by the time I've finished. Check back with us, folks, to see if that's the case.
That sounds good.
Good.
I have read
a lot of comics recently, but I'm going to focus on a couple of things. So Civil War 2 is running in Marvel at the minute.
That's a nice front cover.
Yeah. So spoilers. So there's been a slight delay, because I think the artist, as everyone understands, had a baby. So there's
running. People
having their
babies. Babies. Can't you all just do something a little bit more interesting than
I'm
baby?
Sorry that I am a genetic jackhammer. I simply insist on breeding.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that Marvel, as they are accustomed to do when the big events happen, a lot of titles spin out of it. A lot of the regular titles have to do tie-ins, and more often than not, they're a bit pish.
Fair. But
what they have done is, one of the big plots we discussed in the last episode of BAM, I think, was Hawkeye killing Bruce Banner.
Dick move, Hawkeye.
Well, because basically Bruce Banner asked him to. He said, if I'm in danger of hulking out again, I want you to basically...
stick me in the eye.
With your gamma irradiated arrow, which he did. So he's basically, in front of all the main heroes, he basically assassinated Bruce Banner and then said, take me in, you know. And here's why. And so basically, they've done two single issues. One's called The Accused, which is the trial of Hawkeye.
Ooh.
And The Fallen, which is the funeral of Bruce Banner. We're starting off with the accused.
Right.
It's the trial of Hawkeye, and he's being tried by none other than Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil. It's one of the best Daredevil stories I've read for a long time, because it does give you both elements of the character. So you have, like, the courtroom drama, which I do love a good courtroom drama.
Is Matt Murdock the defence or the prosecution?
He's prosecution. He's working with the prosecution.
Oofed.
So it does seem to be a cut-and-dry case. You know, there's witnesses. He's admitted he's killed Bruce Banner. In, do you want me to spoil the verdict?
He's found not guilty.
He gets off.
Fucking hell. This justice system.
So, yeah. So, anyway, it's less about that. It's actually about the characters involved and Matt Murdock kind of struggling with how to try the case and realise there's a bit of a conspiracy behind the scenes. Which
he loves a conspiracy, doesn't he? He loves getting right in the middle of a conspiracy.
So there's, the strange thing about the tie-in is there's more going on in here than there is in the actual main Civil War comic, where it seems... So what they're trying to do is, like, behind the scenes, they're trying to push forward with a new take on the Superhero Registration Act, which was the first Civil War, which, again, you guys will know from the movie side of things. So that's a good standalone comic, and it's, like I say, it's one of the best Daredevil stories I've read for a while. The Fallen takes place straight afterwards, and it's the funeral of Bruce Banner, and his nearest and dearest, how they're coping with it. It's also got the last will of Bruce Banner as well, and he's basically saying, look, this is what I wanted, you know, I don't want you to go looking for revenge. One of the things, I don't want to go into too much detail, it's like they're both really, really good, but one thing I found interesting in their take on this is, growing up reading the Hulk, he is this, like, marauding monster who twats tanks, you know, demolishes buildings. But they never kind of made out that anyone actually died. Like, you know, you'd have, you know, you'd beat up the army and they'd be, like, in intensive care, but no one actually died.
Yeah.
They actually directly refer to the fact that he'd killed, you know, thousands of people had died as a result of his actions, which I was kind of like, oh, fuck, right, they've actually gone there. And I think in the movies themselves, they don't really say that anyone's died. He's been reckless and he's demolished buildings and in Age of Ultron he has that, you know, huge guilt thing when he trashes, like, is it South Africa?
Wakanda.
Was it Wakanda?
Was it no, that was Civil War, right? I think when he goes on the ramp when was it Scarlet Witch hexes him? South Africa he trashes,
they don't buy the building in Wakanda where they fall through it. Because they're in Wakanda tracking fucking Gollum.
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was South Africa. I know it was filmed in South Africa. I think maybe that's why I got mixed up. But anyway. There's a whole thing where they're trashing buildings, but, you know, you see people scared.
Research that.
Yeah, you see people very scared, but he hasn't actually physically killed anyone. So, yeah, I just thought it was quite an interesting take on it, that in this new reborn Marvel Universe, the Hulk is responsible for deaths of thousands of people.
I like that, though. I'm glad they did that.
I am much more interested now in reading these than I am any of Civil War 2.
Yeah, I mean, I said to the last podcast for Civil War 2, for me, the central story, the hook, is just not as compelling as the Superhero Registration Act. The idea that there's a superhuman who can predict the future, and it's like, well, okay, right. It just seems a bit weak to me.
Yeah.
And apart from the delay, apparently they're going to add on an extra issue, which I just don't think they need to. It's just kind of, they're really stretching this story. And the most interesting thing to come out of it is the assassination of Bruce Banner, which, you know, in about 5 years' time, he'll be back.
He'll be back. Hey, guys.
Yeah. But as it stands, these two are nice little takes on it, and they just feel a bit fresh takes on characters.
Do we know how long they're going to run? Are they one-shots?
They're both one-shots. So the accused, the trial, is basically a one-off, and the fallen is like a one-off. And these were solicited months ago.
Right.
And it was just the title. Like, no one knew what was going to go in. No one knew what they're about. Because obviously that was a big twist in the last Civil War where Hawkeye bumps off Bruce.
Brucey bonus. Talking of Civil War.
I'll say quickly, I'll give these marks out of five. I think I'm going to give both of these 4 out of 5.
Wow. Strong BAMs.
Yeah.
Quadruple BAMs each one. Speaking of the Marvel Universe, is Captain America back yet?
So, I am reading what you talk about Steve Rogers. So, he is still an agent of Hydra.
Yeah.
We talked about this. Last we spoke about this, in issue 2, they quickly said that it was this cosmic cube doohickey.
Yeah.
So, basically, they've rewritten Steve Rogers' history. So, his mum was courted by a member of like Hydra, and she was bumped off. They've taken Steve Rogers in. So basically, his life has been rewritten. So he's been an agent, a deep cover agent for Hydra. It's actually a really good storyline.
Okay.
And at the moment, they're doing a tie-in with Civil War II. So the events of Civil War II are happening. But Steve Rogers, Captain America, he's got his own plan to take on the Red Skull and usurp him from Hydra. So it's quite a cool plot. I think it's really, and again, it just feels like it's a bit different.
Yeah, I didn't see it going that way at all.
And again, you know it's going to be unwritten because they're trying to track down this cosmic cube, which has taken the form of a young girl. Steve Rogers to try and track her down for his own purposes, not to kind of rewrite it back. Which eventually they'll do, but I think it's fun. It's an interesting take. You're getting flashbacks to him being a kid. And I'm hoping you get flashbacks to this kind of alternative past. So like, it'll be quite fun to see famous events from Marvel history, but with the idea that all the time Steve Rogers has been an agent of Hydra. I think that'd be quite fun. I'd like to see those kind of fun flashbacks before they rewrite it back to him being a good guy. So I'm totally in with it. I think the artwork's great as well. It's still happening. I think people have kind of wound the necks a little bit because it's a comic book story and it's clearly going to be unwritten.
Yeah, there's no publicity, like bad publicity, is there?
Well, I guess the people getting out their prams, because I think you're supposed to believe that he's always been an agent of Hydra, but it's now been clearly stated it's just he's been manipulated and he's made to think it is.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Very dramatic.
And we're done.
We're done. We're done with issue Sweet 16 of your Bam Pomic. Bam.
Your Bam Pom Pom.
Bam Pom Pom. Your Bam Pomic. We need tea. We're out of tea. Shows.
Exactly. So I guess we're not going to commit to saying we'll be back in about a week's time because I think it's not going to happen. So
Somebody might be a dad by then.
Yeah.
Somebody literally. Yeah, that's very true.
So I reckon we should come back in about a month's time, if not before.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
It would be nice to do another one before I head back to the US or
We do one next month, but we'll come back in about a month's time. We'll have new exciting stuff to talk about.
I haven't actually been to the comic shop in a month, so I need to get on that.
Yeah.
Or sign up to Comixology, like you two chumps.
It's good.
No, I've only used it once, though. I do still like going into comic book shops, but I don't really like the comic book shops.
Yeah, you can do better.
You're not a fan of Forbidden Planet?
Well, but I mean, that's a bloody behemoth. But but sort of like the smaller ones aren't as good as the smaller ones stateside. But I think more for my taste of things, though.
No, I've had good experiences. Like the Baltimore one I went to a few months ago was very good. The one in Dallas was phenomenal. Mm. I didn't get a chance to go to any comic shops in Oklahoma because Oklahoma is basically just spread all over the place. It's not easy to get to. Like, I was staying in the city, and it would have meant like a long Uber drive one way.
If you could get an Uber in Oklahoma.
If you can get an Uber in Oklahoma, which is a whole different podcast.
The Uber podcast, yeah. The BAM crew. Well, there you go then. We'll see you when we see you.
Don't miss us too much. We're back soon.
All right. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can. It's the BAM Comics Cast. Look for us there. Our details are on there. We've just been informed that Carly's Twitter handle needs an update. So where can they find you, Carly?
C Moxinator.
That's the proper one to find Carly on. Where can they find you, Stu?
Stunami.
And you can find me on Neil Gortz. But once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.